أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Well, first of all, خوشالي مبارك, my goodness. It is a really awesome day, and an awesome day to do سورة الحاشر, سورة number 59. It's 24 آيات. We've divided into six sections. It's a مدني سورة. I'm going to look at the benefits of recitation first. So you've got memory retention. I think we've got them written out somewhere here. You've got, for joint pain, you've got ayah 21 to 24. I know for a fact that this helped my mom a lot. And I have lupus, and I think this is the thing that takes me through. Earache, it's really good for forgiveness, for protection, for increasing of memory. And if you find something is really difficult, then recite Surah Al-Hashr for 40 days, and a difficult task will become easy. I'm going to read to you what Imam Khomeini wrote in a letter to his son. He said, "My son, study Surah Al-Hashr, which is full of treasures and education, and it's worth for a person to reflect on it for his entire life in order to provide provisions for the hereafter with divine help, especially the latter ayat from 18 onwards." Now also, When Khomeini was talking about his teacher, he says, "My teacher, the late Shah Awadi, would recommend to me to frequently recite Surah Al-Hashr, especially Ayah 18 onwards." So when we come to Ayah 18, we'll try and understand what this is talking about. So historically, if we look at this surah is known as Al-Nuzair or Banu Nuzair. Incidentally, Hashr means the gathering. I think on the building it still says the banishment, and we'll change that to the gathering. But it literally means to gather. And we'll talk about why. So let me give you the historical occasion of this surah. It's known as Banu Nuzair. Now, when the Prophet got to Medina, he had these treaties with all the tribes of the Jewish tribes. And the largest of the tribes, there were three. There's Banu Quneika, Banu Nuzair, and Banu Qurayza, or Banu Qaynuka, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. Now, they signed a treaty that Medina, they would protect Medina. At least Medina would be theirs. They wouldn't fight each other, so on and so forth. The first tribe to break the treaty was the Banu Qaynuka. And these were expelled. Now, this surah talks about a Banu Nuzair, a really large tribe, but also a tribe which had poets whose tongues were very sharp. They were sharp-tongued. And we'll talk about the Banu Qurayza when we come to it. And what the Banu Nuzair did was, in essence, they sort of joined together with the hypocrites of Medina. And we'll see, the surah actually talks about it and how it goes through with that. So, in essence, the surah is talking about, it's highlighting historically that fact, but then we'll see how it goes further from there. So we'll start off with the sections. There are six sections. We'll go through each one, but at the moment you can see we've sort of put them in here as six. I'll start off with the ayah one. So it starts off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi wa huwa al aziz al hakim. This is a musabbihat, as you know. 85 times Sabbaha comes in the Quran. So to declare his perfection, to be able to see his perfection in everything. And again, I bring you to say the Zainab when she said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila, in the most difficult of times. So he's saying, whatever is in the heavens, whatever is in the earth, declares his perfection. And the declaration may be just by their existence, just by seeing a blade of grass, a bird fly. Surah Al-Mulk highlights that a lot. By seeing something, you understand the perfection of Allah. Wa huwa al-Aziz al-Hakim. He is Aziz, mighty. He has ultimate authority, and he is the wise. And that's section one. And we've talked about the Musabbihat quite a lot. Now we come to the ayah 2 to 6, which talk about the expulsion of the Banu Nuzair from Medina. So you bear with me. These ayat, you need to understand. Huwa al-Ladhi. It is he. It is Allah. أخرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب. He is the one who removed those who covered up the truth from the أهل الكتاب, من ديارهم, from their homes. This is Allah saying, I removed them. لأول الحشر, in the first of the gatherings. So what happens? The Banu Nuzair, when they were told, you broke this treaty, and you agreed in this treaty that you would leave if you had broken your treaty. You colluded with the hypocrites. Whatever they did, they were told, you said you would leave. So they said that, okay, we agree, but give us about 10 days. They said, we want 10 days to sort of give us a respite to be able to collect our belongings. And the prophet said, yeah, that's fine. But they decided to lock themselves up in their fort. And they thought, you know what? The hypocrites of Medina are going to aid us from outside. We will be inside and we will be able to ward the Muslims off because we've got a really, really strong fort. So Allah is saying that He removed them from their homes in the first time the Muslims gathered around the fort. It wasn't like they had to go again and again and again. Then He says, مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا. You didn't even think that they would come out. Because when you saw the fort, you thought, oh my goodness, they're never going to leave. This is a really fortified fort. And they've got such military might. There's no way we're going to be able to remove them. So these are the Muslim fort. And then says, Allah says, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِئَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And they thought, that means the Banu Nuzair thought, that mana'a is to prevent. They thought their husunahum. Now remember we say in the hadith of the golden chain, La ilaha illallah hisni. La ilaha illallah is my fort, Allah says. Whoever says it, whoever believes in it, whoever enters it, it's safe. Same word, husunahum. They thought that our forts are somewhere where nobody can enter and they would not be able to, they would be able to defend themselves against Allah, basically. فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah came to them from where they didn't even imagine. Where? How did this happen? Look what Allah did. وَكَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعَبَ. Allah cast in their hearts terror. They got scared. It wasn't anything from outside. It was their inside that scared them. So what happened? So when their inside was scared, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتِهِمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They didn't just leave with their possessions. They destroyed their homes. And when they destroyed their homes, obviously when the Muslims entered, it was their hands that helped that as well. But in essence, it's saying they destroyed their own hands. Now Allah is saying, فَأْتَبِرُوا. You know, in Ibrat, in Urdu, in Ibrat, we say it's a lesson. Allah says, take a lesson. Ya ulil absar, O you who can see. Now, this is also telling this to the third group of Jews. Remember, I told you that the third group was Bani Qurayza. They have been told, watch out. You're watching all this. You see what's happened. These were the people who were the strongest in their tongues. They were the strongest in their forts, yet they left as well. So something in their heart caused terror, and that was Allah. Allah takes total credit for them having left. Now what does He say? وَلَوْلَا أَنْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْجَلَاءِ. If it had not been for Allah to decree their jala'a, jala'a is to go away, to be exiled. لَعَذَّبَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابُ النَّارِ. The punishment in the world and the akhirah would have been greater. In other words, Allah is saying, this was a lesser punishment for them. But what they did, this expulsion was nothing. They deserved a greater punishment, but they were just expelled. They weren't subject to that punishment. Now why were they expelled? What happened? What did they do? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. That is because they did shaq. Shikak is to oppose everything somebody says on all issues. Not to accept anything. To just absolutely argue about everything. So Allah thinks because they acted in opposition to Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ يُشَاقَ اللَّهَ. Whoever opposes Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. The retribution is hard. It's tough. Now what happens? So you can imagine. Imagine the scenario. This is a fort. The fort is surrounded by palm trees. The Banu Nuzair inside. And the Muslims, in order to get a vantage point, are ordered by the Prophet to cut some date palms. And the date palms they were ordered to cut were date. Lean is a soft date. Lina is good dates, basically. So they had to cut down these trees to be able to see inside. So the Banu Nudhayr are shouting out, what sort of prophet do you follow? What's wrong with you? You're destroying vegetation. You're destroying palm trees. How can you follow such a prophet? And the Muslims get a little bit shaken. Look what Allah says. مَا كَتَعْتُم مِّن لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُوهَا قَائِمَةً. Whatever palm trees you cut down, or you left standing on their roots. Allah usuliha, usuli's roots, as you know from usuli deen. فَبِيذْنِيَ اللَّهِ. That was with the command of Allah, the permission of Allah. وَلْيُخْزِيَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So that those who cross the line, those who were corrupt, would be humiliated. In other words, they were so arrogant in their forts. I mean, they thought whatever they said, you know, they would be able to get hold of the Muslims. And Allah is saying, no, we told you to cut these down. Don't worry. And whatever the Prophet says, we say. Now what happens? وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. Now, أَفَاءَ is a bit like أَنْفَاءَ. Anfal is spoils of war, but Anfal is not just spoils of war. Anfal is extra, like more than you deserve, basically. It's lots of extras left behind. Afa'a is something that is left behind. So Allah is saying, وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ. Whatever was left behind is for the Prophet, and then he'll tell you why. Minhum fama awjaftum alayhi min khaylin wala rikab. You didn't do anything here. You didn't have to fight. There was no war. This is not spoils of war. You just surrounded the fort. You didn't have to use your horses. You didn't have to use your camels. Walakin Allah yusallitu rasulahu ala man yasha. Allah gives authority to His Messenger as He pleases. Wallahu ala kulli shayin kadir. So basically, what Allah is saying. Let me just tell you a little bit about Anfal. Before Anfal was revealed, you found that in the spoils of war, when people went for battle in amongst the Arabs, whatever you took was yours, finders keepers, basically. The Prophet came, and now you have, battle was not haphazard. There were people who were told to guard stuff, and we saw the problems that happened in the Battle of Uhud. But these were all places where people were. And here you're told it will be exactly what the Prophet says. This is where Khums comes from as well. Ayah 41 of Surah Al-Anfal talks about Khums. So Anfal talks about now there is methodology of how this Anfal will be divided. Here Allah is saying the same thing. He's saying you didn't do anything. The reason why these people left was because Allah put terror in their hearts. So you haven't fought, this is not on fire, this is what has been left behind. So what is going to happen to it? How will it be divided? So now we find in section 3. See, section 3, we find that they thought, the people of those who weren't Muhajirin and Ansar, the hypocrites of Medina thought, oh my goodness, now we're going to get a lot from the fort, because the fort was full of treasures. And the reason why the Banu Nuzair or the Ahlul Kitab had combined all their efforts in these forts was because in their scriptures they were told that a prophet would come and he would come to the land of Yathrib. That's where they moved to Yathrib. They moved there so that their treasures they would hand over to the prophet. Just as you and I think we're building institutions and we do all this because we want to hand it over to Imam Zaman Ajallahu Fajr. And Imam Sadiq said, just as Quran says that you recognized him, told the Jews, just as you recognized him as though he was your own brother, as though he was related to you, but you denied him because he wasn't a Jew. In the same way, he says, Imam Sadiq says, those in the end of time when Imam Zaman Ajallahu Faraja comes, will deny him because he won't be part of their own communities. Will I deny him because he's not a Quraysh? Well, that's something to be thought about. So here we're told now, you didn't fight, you didn't do anything, you just came. Now it's going to be split up this is way. And this was the ingrained greed of the hypocrites is now addressed here. So ma afa Allahu ala rasulihi min ahli al-qura. So what was left behind is for Allah and His Messenger, min ahli al-qura, and from the people of the towns. Falillahi wali rasuli, for Allah and His Messenger, wali dil qurba, for the near ones, wali yatama, the orphans, or masakin. It goes, you all know this, this is like a welfare thing. Or masakin, those in need, or ibn sabil, the refugees, كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم. So that the money should not just, the wealth should not just remain amongst the rich. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ. Whatever the Prophet gives you, take it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. What he refuses, don't go near it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Be God conscious. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah is severe in retribution. So basically what it's saying that this is now a welfare society. So that wealth does not circle only with the wealthy. Allah says, you didn't make any effort here. You didn't fight. There wasn't a war. This is not like Anfal. This is not like spoils of war. This is different. This is what they've left behind. And this is how it's going to be distributed. And when it comes to the Prophet, doesn't mean he's going to spend it. It means he will distribute it to those who most needed it. Now, Allah is talking about the Muhajir and the Ansar. First, it's about the Muhajir. So, if you can imagine that they're the ones who will be the first recipients of this, of the wealth that is left behind. لِلْفُقَرَاءَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ. Those who are, you know, there's a difference between miskeen and fuqara. Somebody who doesn't have absolutely anything. Remember the muhajirin left their homes. They left everything in Makkah. Absolutely everything. Their homes, their families, all their wealth. They traveled with nothing. So Allah is saying, لِلْفُقَرَىٰ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ. It is for those who have nothing from the muhajirin. الَّذِينَ أَخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. The only reason they migrated was they were seeking Father, the grace of Allah. Something beyond their expectations. First, it's for them. What is one? And his pleasure. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. They assisted Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are the ones who are the real truthful ones. To be able to leave everything to migrate just in order to support the Allah and His Messenger. I mean, that was phenomenal. They were expelled from their homes. They lost everything. So Allah says, first, it's theirs. Then He talks about the Ansar as well. Now He says, and it's beautiful the way Allah balances both of them. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّعُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those who are already established in the city, dar, in their homes, وَالْإِيمَانَ, and their faith from before. They hadn't seen the Prophet, but they believed in him. So from before they were established. Now look at them. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They loved those who did hijrah. They loved the refugees. And Allah says that. They loved them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَّ مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And in their hearts, they, sudur is your chest. In the, they emotionally, they didn't feel jealous. They didn't feel envious about what the muhajirin were going to get. They could have said, we went in this together, we should get an equal share. But they didn't feel anything like that. They were happy that the muhajirin were getting this. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. My goodness. إِثَار is the ability to give that which you need. And Allah says that was the way they were. They gave what they needed themselves to the muhajirs. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَسَاسَ. Even though it would have made them bankrupt. They were incredibly generous. And then Allah adds a beautiful verse. I don't think there's a verse like that in the Quran. It's beautiful. وَمَنْ يُوكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is able to combat the greed of his nafs, of his inner being, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They're the ones who are successful. And this is talking about the Ansar. Can you imagine when the Muhajirs came in? They shared their homes, they shared their food, they shared their work. We were told they had one room. They put a curtain in between. They gave half to the Muhajir, half to the Ansar. Their businesses, they put in half and they shared. They were just some phenomenal people. And Allah mentions them here. And then He says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ. So when you see this, when we see this sort of love for humanity. Allah is saying, this is what you're supposed to say. يَقُولُونَ. They say, رَبَّنَا أَوْرَبْ. رَبَّنَا غُفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us. وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا. And those with us. الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who have come before us in Iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ. Do not put in our hearts غِلْ. غِلْ is where you keep up with the Joneses, where you don't make us jealous of each other. Don't make us be envious of each other. In other words, if I look on the positive side, if I flip it, make us happy for each other. في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. My Rabb, you are Ra'uf. Ra'uf is like kitchen, that is really soft. You are so soft and you are Rahim. Basically, this ayah is telling you and me to be the softest we can be, to be happy for people. It's hard, but you gotta try. Now we find the hypocrites. They're plotting with the Banu Nuzair. So it flips up now. It tells us about them. It says, Alam tara alladhina nafaqu. Have you seen those who did infaq? Who were hypocrites? They said one thing, they believed one thing. Yaquluna. They said, لِإِخْوَانِهِمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَخْلِ الْكِتَابِ. They said to those who covered up the truth from the أَخْلِ الْكِتَابِ, لَإِنْ أُخْرِجْتُمْ لَنَخْرُجَنَّ مَعَكُمْ. If you are expelled, if you are expelled, we will go with you. وَلَا نُطِيعُ فِيكُمْ أَحَدًا أَبَدًا. And they said, you know what, we will never obey anyone. Absolutely anyone concerning you. وَإِنْ كُوتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ. If they fight against you, we will help you. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَقَاذِبُونَ. Allah bears witness, they are lying. They're liars. So, they were having the Banu Nuzair were having these secret conversation with the hypocrites. And the hypocrites would tell them, don't worry, if you get kicked out, we'll come with you. If they fight you, we will fight you. Whatever the prophet says, we won't listen to him. We will just be with you. لَإِنْ أُخْرِجُوا لَا يَخْرَجُونَ مَعَهُمْ. If they are driven out, they're not going to go with them. They're just not going to go. وَلَإِنْ كُوتِلُوا لَا يَنْصُرَهُمْ. If there's a fight, they're not going to help. وَلَإِنْ نَصْرُوهُمْ لَيُوَلُّنَّ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يُنْصَرُونَ. And even if the Ahlul Kitab were to help them, they will turn away and they will not be helped. That's the way the hypocrites work. So when we say one thing, we do another. Now look what they really worry about. Hypocrisy. When hypocrisy is in the heart, what do you worry about? لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَّدُّ رَحْمَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They worry about you more than Allah. In other words, they worry about their reputation far more. They're scared about their reputation. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Because you just don't understand. To them, it's their worldly status that matters. So how do they fight? What do they do? And it's a lesson for all of us, because this is how we should not behave. لَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ جَمِيعًا. They will not fight against you together. إِلَّا فِي قُرًى مُحَصَّنَةٍ. Unless they are in a fortified town. So unless they are safe, they will not fight. I'll talk about how we do it today. أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءَ جُدُرٍ. Or they will either fight behind a wall. بَعْصَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٍ. And between them, their fighting is really severe. Their inside conflict amongst them is intense. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You know, you may think they're one body, but their hearts are completely disunited. شَتَّى. They're far apart. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Because there are people who don't understand. You will find today, we fight, we attack each other under the cover of social media. We cannot go and have a conversation with someone. We will write this nonsense anonymously. We will use all the social media platforms because it's fortified, it's a wall. Nobody can do anything to you. We use the word anonymous as a wall. And we hurt people like nobody's business. We're a small people in ourselves and we fight amongst ourselves. It is just so shameful. It's exactly what the hypocrites of Medina did. This is how they fought. My goodness, if you have a problem with each other, go face to face, have a chat. Okay, wear a mask, go out. You know, I know you can't meet face to face. FaceTime, Zoom, whatever you want to do, and don't record it. And then we look at these conversations, and then we send them out. This is exactly what Ayah 14 is talking about. كَمَثَلِ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Like those before them shortly. So it's like the people of Badr. ذاقوا وبال أمرهم ولهم عذاب أليم. They tasted the evil results of what they did, and they will have a painful punishment. So they tasted the consequences of their decisions. It always comes back, so they're like boomerang. And Allah then gives an example. He says, "Come up here, Shaitan. It's like Shaitan. It's Galilean insan. When he tells a human being, Ukfur, cover up the truth. Falamma kafara, when the human being covers up the truth, Qala, he says, Inni bari'u minka, I'm away. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm staying away from you. I didn't do this. I'm clear from you. Inni akhafu Allah rabbul alamin. And he says, I fear Allah, the Rabb of the worlds. So he will light a spark, and then he will walk away. And the shaitan and jinn amongst human beings do exactly the same. They will say they're with you, and then when you go out there, they will all disappear. Now he says, فَكَانَ therefore, أَكِبَتُهُمْ, the end of both of them, the akibah for both of them, أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, is the fire, it's agitation to stay in there. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ, and that is the reward of those who do injustice. Now we come to the ayah that Sayyid Khomeini recommended to his son. And for us, these are phenomenal ayah that talk to us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, be God conscious. Waltanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin, be wary, be mindful of what you send forth tomorrow. Now, Ghadan, tomorrow is Ghadan. It's telling you that the urgency of the Day of Judgment is like it's tomorrow. Know what you have sent ahead. Look at what your legacy is. Look at what you've done. What will remain of you? See what you can do to assist another human being. What difference you will make in their lives. Wattaqullah, again, be God conscious. Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'malun, because He is aware of exactly what you do. Can you, basically telling you and me, can we look at our days? Are they meaningful? Do they make a difference in somebody's lives? Can we say at the end of our life, thank you for life, I left the world a better place than what I found it in? And then he says, how to do this? There's a methodology. First he says is, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ, don't be like those who forgot Allah. When they forgot Allah, they forgot their purpose of life. When they forgot that they had to be like divinity, and this surah will end to tell us where to go. When they forgot that they had to do تَقَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, adopting yourself the akhlaq of Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ, they forgot themselves, they forgot their nafs. They lived a dimension of life that was only external, that was only physical. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, they are the ones who, fasiq is somebody who violates his own sanctity, who rots. So Allah is saying they violated their own sanctity, it's so precious. I was having a discussion with my daughter the other day about people being born and why people are born. When Allah creates someone, and creates you or me, it really doesn't matter who, what, which one. I know genes are important, all the rest is important. Once you grow up and you're mature enough and you understand life, then know that He created you because He saw you worthy of being put in the world. And therefore, all of us, were extremely important. The Master Creator saw you and me worthy to come into this world. So this is what it's trying to say. Don't be fasik. Don't violate this beautiful sanctity He has given you. Don't forget yourself. Don't just live an animal existence of eating, drinking, growing, reproducing and dying. That's basically what it's saying. Then he says, لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. They're not the same. Those who are the inmates of the agitation and the fire, and those who are at peace, and those are the inmates of Jannah. Ashabul Jannah humul faizun. The inmates of Jannah are those who have the ultimate success. Faizun, ultimate success. And, you know, we can go through the Quran and look at the qualities of Ashabul Jannah. Now we come to, oh my goodness, and maybe most of you know this. So these are the ayats from 21 to 24. That you get joint pain, you've got issues, you have problems. Read it after every salah. And I think we put it in the Zakibat book, but just recite these. Memorize these. They're just beautiful, just something else. Maybe I'll show you later on how I put it in my Quran, how you can put each of the Asma'al Husna, you put it in a different color. Anyway, Lawanzalna, had we sent down this Quran, ala jabalin, on a mountain, la ra'aytahu, you would have seen it, khashi'an, khashi'a, it would have become soft, mutasaddiyan, it would have exploded, min khashyatillah, in the awe of Allah. This is an example. نَذْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ, we give human beings. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَقَّرُونَ, so that they will think, they will be engaged in deep thought when they think about this. You know, if you look at Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, yeah, Prophet Musa wanted to see Allah, right? He wanted those people within those 70 to see Allah. And Allah shows a tiny bit of His awesomeness on the mountain that was in front of them. The mountain exploded. Prophet Musa becomes unconscious. And all those people die. The 70 people with him die. They're brought back to life, by the way. Quran is what he's saying. If that was put on a mountain, لَرَعَيْتَهُ, you would have seen it, خَاشِئًا مُتَسَدِّئًا مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. So what is it supposed to do to my heart? Because it's in my heart. Even rocks, when they break, when they explode, water comes out. Quran talks about it. Prophet Musa had to hit the rock with a staff, and there were 12 gushes of water that came out of the 12 tribes. So Quran softens the heart, خَاشِئًا. It breaks the heart. Start again. Mutasaddiyan, it breaks the heart. Rumi says, the only way you can allow light to get into your heart is to break it again and again and again like a seed. Now, I don't mean get people to break your heart. No. I mean, you got to open up your heart. And you open up to the Quran. We looked at Surah Al-Isra when you talked about addressing the Quran with intellectual humility. Looking at the Quran and thinking, I don't know anything, to open it up. I suggest when you pick up the Quran to say, Ya Allah, I don't know anything. I really don't. Open these words up to me. Open the book. Make it open up to me. That's what this is talking about. If a mountain would implode, and if this Quran has been sent to our hearts, and something has to be done with these hearts to open up. It is He who is Allah. There is no God but Him. Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. The knower of the. Now there's 15 of these, okay, and I'll go over each one. Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. So we're going to learn each one of these. Maybe next week we should not do a surah, we'll just look at the Asma'ul Husna. So Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, the knower of the seen and the unseen. Huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my goodness. His mercy is constant, and His mercy is also at a time when I really need it. Urgency and constancy. Mercy is to all, and there's more mercy to the one who is attached. When I talk to children, I say, when your tooth hurts, go to a dentist. That is Rahman. If you subscribe to the dentist, then you will go to a hygienist, and that's Rahim. I'm just trying to... These words will take months and months and months to understand, but you can imagine there is He's merciful at all times. Guidance is merciful, all the rest of it. Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. There is no God beside Him. Al-Malik, the King, the owner, the controller of everything. Al-Quddus, the flawless, absolutely flawless, the source of all purity. As-Salam, the source of all peace. Al-Mu'min, the one that you trust, because that's what it is. One who gives iman and the one that you trust. Oh, I love Muhaymin, one who protects. When you think of Muhaymin, I have a daughter called Muhaymina, but she said, think of Muhaymin. Imagine the Kaaba growing hands. And imagine the Kaaba hugging you. That's Muhaymin. Al-Aziz. Aziz is total authority. And Jabbar, my goodness. Jabbar is like a plaster cast. One who mends you forcibly. You don't have a choice. He'll put you together. One who corrects you. He forces you. He forces those bones of the soul to fuse together. That's difficult, but he does it. Al-Mutakabbir. The one who is great. The greatness. He's the only one who can be proud. He's Mutakabbir. Subhanallah, amma yushrikun. Have to declare his perfection from what they associate with him. Whatever you think of him, he's greater. Oh Allah, it is he. Allah who is Khaliq, he is the creator. Al-Bari is the mold, he makes the mold. Al-Musawwir is the one who then, help me with this, the one who then perfects you, makes this mold into individuality. So creator, say for example, he created man and woman. So there's two molds, a man and a woman. And then there's individuality in Musawwir. He fashions you beautifully the way you are. Basically saying, I made you the way you are. Please don't sit there and say you want to be different. لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. For him are the most beautiful names. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth declare his perfection. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he is the one with all authority and he is the wise. These are names that we really need to go over. We've got the narrative, you've got it, I've sent it to you. These are some of the ayat that you might want to like, but I'm going to go back and we're going to go through the sections and then I'll open it up for you for whatever you want to ask. Let me go back. So, six sections, or rather five sections. We're going to section one. Six sections. So the first section is just one ayah. All creation declares its perfection. And basically telling you and me, so what about you, a human being? What are you going to do? How are you going to declare his perfection? And the best way to declare his perfection is to be human beings as he said we should be. We just read this. If we are able to manage our nafs, to be able to take away the selfishness from our nafs, we've made it. That's what he's talking about. The second section was the expulsion of the Banu Nudayr, and we saw that nothing was done, literally, by anybody else. It's Allah says, I take credit for it. I put divine terror. I put terror into their hearts. Section 3, we find the praising of the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And there was a distribution of spoils of war. And remember, suddenly, Allah is saying, your ingrained greed has got to go. You've got to share. You've got to learn how to share. And we saw the attitude of the Ansar, how their awesomeness in accepting those who were refugees. Then we find how the hypocrites plotted with the Banu Nudayr and Allah completely declares them as liars. Section 5, ayah 18 to 20 is basically be mindful of the Akhirah, what we send ahead. And finally, ayah 6. The Quran has the ability to soften mountains, and therefore it is preparing the human heart for divine growth. Even if you just butter in for starters, just read, it makes a difference. But understanding it will make a far greater difference.